On the 4th of December 2018, the National Council of Provinces voted to approve the Competition Amendment Bill of 2018. With this vote, the bill has now completed the parliamentary process. All that remains is for the President to formally assent to the bill and announce its commencement date. So, what does the amended bill speak to, and how best does it seek to address high market concentration levels and a continued lack of transformation in the economy? Competition lawyer and head of the competition law practice at Worksmen's Attorneys, Paul Kutzer, joins me now on the line. So, Paul, just draw us a bit of a picture of the evolution of competition law and how the latest bill is set to improve the competition landscape in the economy.
So the Competition Act is now 19 years old. It came into force in 1998. And the intention of the Act is really to make markets more competitive and to ensure that the economy is robust and grows at a fast pace. The government, I think, has found that the industry is quite concentrated still and has not achieved all those objectives. And therefore, earlier this year, they introduced sweeping changes to the Competition Act in Parliament, and that law has now been passed by the National Council of Provinces and has been sent to the President for assent. And the objective of this new Act, as I say, is to address the perceived high levels of concentration in markets and also the lack of transformation. And that will hopefully effectively give rise to increased growth in the economy.
So how does the bill speak to issues of transformation in the economy?
Well, there's, I think there are a number of issues, but I can perhaps lift up three. In the first place, in the case of a transaction which companies acquire control over a business or a controlling stake, a shareholding in a firm, in future, once the bill becomes law, the competition authorities can investigate the effect on historically disadvantaged persons or employee ownership in a firm. So if that is reduced as a result of the transaction, the competition authorities can go as far as prohibiting that transaction or imposing merger conditions. So that's maybe one aspect. Two other aspects is for dominant firms that purchase from historically disadvantaged suppliers or SMME suppliers, they are now effectively prohibited from imposing unfair trading terms on fair prices on those firms, and that will be looked at very carefully. And then lastly, in respect of supplies made by dominant firms to historically disadvantaged and smaller firms, they cannot discriminate in their pricing to those firms to the extent that that will have an adverse impact on the firms to participate in the market. So that will be now scrutinized by the competition authorities.
And how does the Act or the bill define a dominant firm?
Well, the it's already been defined in the Act as a firm that has a market share of 45%, but even below the 45% level, if it can be shown that the firm has market power, i.e. the ability to price independently and set the trading terms without reference to their competitors or their suppliers or the customers,
right,
then you can be regarded as a dominant firm, and then you are obliged to do these things that I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So what are the key new rules associated with acquisition of firms?
Well, there's two main changes in the Act that have now been brought about. Firstly, as I've indicated, if your transaction has an adverse impact on effectively BEE or employee ownership, that can be scrutinized, and there can be merger conditions or prohibitions that follow from such a transaction, which previously it wasn't the case, and the Commission had to steer clear of those type of effects of a merger. And then secondly, in the case of a foreign firm acquiring a South African business or a company, that can potentially now in future be blocked based on national security grounds. So that may mean that the government can set up a committee to investigate that particular multinational merger, and if they believe that South Africa's economic and social stability or national security is impacted, that can be blocked by government.
Will the bill give the Competition Commission more teeth in terms of its power when it levies sanctions against a company that transgresses the competition law?
Yes, indeed. So there are two provisions that has an impact. Firstly, at the moment, the maximum penalty that can be imposed is 10% of a company's turnover. In the bill, which will become law soon, that can be increased to 25% of turnover if the company had committed a similar offence before, so if the company is a repeat offender. In addition, the company's holding company can also become liable for the penalty of a subsidiary if they knew or had to know that the or ought to have known that the subsidiary committed the offence. And maybe something finally, previously, for a certain category of offences, one could only be receive a yellow card, i.e. just a warning not to transgress again. The yellow card has now been removed in the bill, and therefore virtually for all offences in the Act, a company can be penalised.
And just referring to what you mentioned about the holding company, the burden of proof would be on who that the company should have known. Would it be on the Competition Commission?
Yes, correct. That is indeed so. So they will base it on what the how the company had conducted their business in the ordinary course, whether these board papers reveal the offence, i.e. The board of the holding company could have seen it in the board papers or management reports, or alternatively, if it's something of such a high degree of oversight that they ought to have known it and just decided to look the other way, then that can also be held as the knowledge requirement.
That was Paul Kutzer. He's the head of competition law practice at Worksmen's Attorneys.